check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap for this week's Arnold Palmer Invitational. Joining me to break it all down, Mark Immelman is here. Mark, good to see you.
Good to see you, Rick. I would say freshly shaven, but not completely. Looking nice and tidy there, my boy.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I never go for the full clean shave. I always leave a little something there.
Yeah, you got to have some scruff. Chicks dig the scruff, bro.
That's what I understand. How was it today, Mark? I mean, you're working PGA Tour Live. You're in the mix. You're seeing lots of shots.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I actually tweeted last night. That sounded like Kyle. Forgive me. I'm trying to do like three things I gleaned from the day. And yesterday it was a Rahm observation. It was a Spieth observation. And then it was, you know, Bay Hill should host a major championship because it is a major championship style venue. And today I just thought the tour staff did a fantastic job of setting it up. They moved a number of par threes forward, playing in like the 175 yard range. The greens weren't rolled. They certainly weren't double cut. They were a little slower. They had been watered. You could clearly see that because the greens were accepting balls where in round one, the ball would bounce like halfway up the flagstick at times. They were so firm. And so I thought the setup was very fair today, and with some gusty winds in the morning, it was challenging. It was downright hard. And then as I was sitting here waiting for this call and watching the end of the broadcast, I was like, you know, people think they can perfect this game of golf and perfect self and perfect the swing, and bettors think they can do all the research and get data and stuff and make good bets. But you just can't, because you don't know what the forecast holds. You don't know how your field, your court, whatever you're playing on is going to change. And it's changing all the time. And whereas we thought today was going to be horrendous and winds upwards of 40, the biggest gusts we got recorded were like 25 to 30. And then the wind started dying towards the end of the day. So the afternoon field actually had the better time of it. So color me surprised, but, you know, as always, Bay Hill is a charm, and this event is just so special, and the field this year is great, and it's a sweet tip of the cap to the king, to Arnold Palmer, because his legacy deserves a field and a championship like this.
Well, this place might be able to host a major championship, but don't tell that to Kurt Kitayama, who's only got two bogeys on the week, 67, 68. He is out in front at the halfway point. That's 9 under par, 2 shots clear of the rest of the field. Mark, we have seen Kurt in contention a handful of times recently. Runner-up finishes at each of the CJ Cup, the Mexico Open, and also the Scottish Open, yet to break through for that PGA Tour victory, but certainly getting closer by the minute.
Well, I was there on hand, and I actually called him in the final round of the Mexico Championship there at Vedanta, and I'd never watched him play. And look, he's 5'8", so he's small, he's diminutive, he's strong. I mean, he's burly, and he hits the thing a ton. Plays a real old school sort of a game with a golf swing where the club face is a bit open at the top, and then he just slams it shut with a whole bunch of forearm action. And sometimes he leaks the driver off to the right-hand side, but when he matches things up, he hits the ball really solidly. And he's won around the world, so he's no scrub. And I watched him that day hang with John Rahm. He kept the pressure on. He saw in Scotland, he didn't really die. You know, it's a lot of guys get into contention and they go away. Where Kurt today, to me, looked surprisingly calm. And the round was stress-free, and there were a whole bunch of golfers that weren't stress-free today because of the conditions and because of some of the hole locations where he had a number. I couldn't count them all, but I remember saying to my announce colleague, I was like, how many times has this guy got like tap-ins for par? And on a day like today, that is so crucial. And now as we head into the weekend, you know, tap-ins for par around here especially become increasingly more important because with the weather supposedly turning proper tomorrow, they'll probably get after the greens some, dry them out, roll them some. And so you're going to have to face, you know, some 4 and 5 and 6 footers. But he looks like he's up for it. He certainly does. I don't think he's going to go away. He's proved that he hasn't, and he's proved that he can hang.
3 worldwide wins, 2018, a win on the Asian Development Tour, another in 2018 on a co-sanctioned Sunshine Asian DP World Tour event, and then a DP World Tour victory in Oman in 2019. Kurt Kitayama, Mark, I believe we had the graphic on this last year, last time he was in contention. He's played on like 10 different worldwide circuits over the course of the last 5 or 6 years. It's kind of a true journeyman situation.
It is, and to borrow a catchphrase from the tournament sponsor, it's priceless. You know, gathering all this experience around the world, playing on different golf courses, playing in different conditions, that stuff can only stand one in good stead. Because today felt like a European tour day with the wind gusting and stuff like that. At times yesterday, it felt like a major championship. And so garnering all this experience that he has, this is a boon for him. This is a feather in his cap, and this is going to equip him even more to hang in there and hopefully withstand the charges of a bunch of PGA Tour blue chippers. So everything he's done, I feel like, has uniquely equipped him for what's going to be a really big weekend for him.
Those blue chippers are indeed lining up behind. 2 shots back, we'll go to Jordan Spieth, 68-69. Things were rolling right along for Jordan. His second 9 included birdies on 11, 12, 16, 17 before hitting one, Mark, 199 yards off the tee of 18, gets a very generous break, hitting it into the boundary fence over there. He'd end up making bogey, but could have been much worse.
Yeah, he hit the shrimp off the tee there on 18, the fast turner, and a little fortunate. I mean, that was a big sales job he did on John Munch over there to convince him that he could hit that thing left-handed and eventually get relief. But look, that's why he's a pro. He knows the rules. He knows how he can work them in his favor. And in the end, it was nearly a miraculous Spiethian sort of a par 4. But I have to say this, because last night I did comment about Jordan because we had him in some featured groups coverage. And of all the times I've seen Jordan play, he looked as comfortable with a golf swing as what I've seen him. You know, that kind of crazy practice rehearsal swing that he was making where it was in and then up and around and over and sort of awkward looking to get feels in the golf swing, that's gone away. And the measure of Jordan for me, and now I'm overlooking the tee shot down 18 because he was trying to craft something low into the wind, he's actually driven the ball fantastically well. I mean, for me, there was a tee shot that he hit down number 9 today, which was playing straight back into the wind. They'd moved the tee forward, so the landing area was pinched by a bunker. There's out of bounds left and thick rough down the right. And he set this draw off there right center and just smashed it down there and had like 7-iron into the green. And this is a hole that just a few groups before, Tyrrell Hatton had fairway medal in there. Rory was going in with 4-iron and stuff. So it speaks to the fact that he is clearly confident with a golf swing. And He's looking sound to me. I would not be surprised at all if he's contending Sunday afternoon. And just for what it's worth, because all the stats people are going to tell me he's putting poorly. He was chipping and putting and that sort of stuff really well and making sort of the putts that you had to. Now, remember that strokes gained putting number, right? Mm-hmm. If 8 feet is kind of the break-even number, so if you make an 8-footer, you 0 strokes, right? If you make inside there, you're not gaining strokes. If you make from outside that number, then you're gaining strokes. But if you miss inside that, then you're losing strokes. And I didn't see him miss but one putt that was on the 10th. There was like 7 feet downhill, sort of awkward, and he never looked comfortable with a read. As far as I'm concerned, he's putting well. I feel like Jordan is in position. I really do. He knows how to win. the golf course is rewarding, you know, savvy play. And when conditions get hard, then scrambling becomes a thing. And let me tell you something. That guy, there was one call yesterday where he hit it in the back bunker, and I said to my announced colleague, John Swantek, I'm like, this is the kind of shot that Jordan, everyone else is going to be caught with their pants down, and Jordan Spieth is going to thrive. And he hit this bunker shot, came out perfectly, landed on the green, and I was like, you're kidding. And it went in the hole, and we both just laughed. We laughed out loud because that's what he's doing. So his powers of recovery are off the charts. And when conditions get hard, these greens get firm, they're going to have to do that. And Jordan has no peer around the greens. He just doesn't. And I don't care what you throw at me. I will fight. I will die on this hill with his skill around the greens.
The continued chase pack, 6 under, Xander Schauffele, Corey Connors, 5 under, Davis Riley, Patrick Cantlay, Matt Fitzpatrick, Justin Thomas. We cannot talk through all of them. Let's go to JT here, Mark. It was a 67 that included both bogeys on 17 and 18. He was rolling. There was a little bit of frustration, obviously, with two bogeys coming in, but to still post a 67, one of the rounds of the day in those conditions, he certainly kept himself and asserted himself into the mix.
Yeah, he's quality. In round one, we had him and we saw all the round and he birdied the first hole and you were kind of like, oh, here we go. You know, because it was perfectly put together. Driving the fairway, wedge up there 15 feet, buried in the heart. And for the rest of the time, he was battling the golf swing. Some just looked very uncomfortable. And in the end, put together a pretty scrappy 72. But that's what winners do. You know, on their bad day, they keep themselves in the mix. And around Bay Hill, par is golden at times. And 72 yesterday did not put you out of the equation. So he kept himself in the tournament. Then off to that fast start today. And I got to tell you, that shot into one. We were watching guys bounce the ball through the back of the green from the fairway there ad nauseum because it was so firm. For him to sting a wedge in there and spin it into position where it stayed in that peninsula, then he made. And then he birdies the second, which you should get a free game for because that par three is hard. It was super special. And he started to look like he got comfortable. And for all of these guys, I think the comfortability is the aspect. Because if you can be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation, you are pretty much beating a half of the competition. And today was awfully uncomfortable with crosswinds and thick rough and unpredictable gusting. You know, it wasn't just the wind velocity, it was so in and out. And to look as comfortable as what he did, I was like, man, this is good. So despite the bogeys, he'll be a little PO'd about that. But man, he's right in the thick of things and looking pretty sharp.
Speaking of uncomfortable, let's talk about a couple of guys who went in the wrong direction. Cam Young, who got to 8 under par after he birdied the 12th hole on Friday. That's one off of Kurt Kitayama's current pace. Unfortunately, Mark struggled on his way in. A bogey on 15, a bogey on 17, and just moments ago made a double on 18 to play his final 4 at 4 over, and he currently sits 5 off the pace.
Yeah, he's not the first guy to do that. I'm sure we'll deal with Rahm because he played his last 5 and 4 over as well, although that was the other side of the golf course. So it happens. But what's he's in with 73, so that puts him at 4 under or something like that, right?
4 under, yeah.
Yeah, the lead is 8 or 9. Forgive me, my memory. 9. So he's only 5 back. I mean, 5 back on this golf course, you do that in 30 minutes. You know, if one guy goes in the wrong direction and you have the old Mongolian reversal kind of thing. So I'm not concerned. He'd like to iron out that finish a little bit. But the truth is, he didn't hit that bad a tee shot into 17, just run through the back some, and he missed a 5 or 6 footer for par. And so that sort of stuff happens. So it was the first I'd seen of Cameron Young, who didn't look that sharp in the early portion of the season. But yesterday he looked good when I was watching him play. And today there were flashes of brilliance. It just was a hard day. And I think sometimes the fact that a JT goes around in 67 this afternoon and you see guys like Corey Connors doing good days, you think that it's on. But the thing about this weather is you just got to get on the wrong side of a lie once and it can catch up with you. And he fanned that tee shot down the 18th, and to miss right on 18 is the cardinal error. From there, you got no chance. And then if you're trying to get a bit audacious and you go out to that green, then you compound errors. So it happens fast. And he'll probably learn from that because he's so good. So Cameron Young is fine. I think he'll be okay.
You've already alluded to it. John Rahm going in the wrong direction was the favorite and leader after the opening round. It was a 4-over-76 on this Friday, which also included struggles over his last five holes. He did, as you mentioned, Mark, finish on the front side. So it's bogey on five, double on six, birdie on seven, bogey on eight, bogey on nine. John Rahm losing 2.5 strokes to the field is his worst round since the third round of last year's Tour Championship.
And I'll probably get skewered for this, but of all the guys who went bad today, this one was the most concerning to me because it really looked like he's got a situation going on with a driver where he just tends this left miss. And we talked in the preview show about how missing left around Bay Hill is just a bad idea. And whereas he was completely virtuoso and looked flawless in round one, today that left miss caught up with him a little bit. And then that stuff tends to have a knock-on effect kind of deal. So the next thing, you miss left, then you miss a green, then you don't get it up and down, and then you have a paper cut and a paper cut, and all of a sudden then down eight, down six, which was his 15th or 14th hole, that par five, the boomerang one, he pulls the tee shot out of the neck. He knew it was wet when he hit it. And that was sort of the straw that kind of broke the camel's back. He did bounce back with a birdie two thereafter, but after there you could sort of see almost, not that he had capitulated, but you could see there was a situation where the normally fiery Rahm had kind of like a punch drunk look about him, I'd say. And it was odd to see because ordinarily you throw Rahm an uppercut and he's going to get up and just bash the heck out of you. And today I didn't see that. I was surprised at the finish. So it's a bit odd. I'm sure he'll probably bounce back tomorrow, but that finish was completely out of character, and it makes me wonder what was going on inside of his head. I wish I knew, but it was strange.
That would be fun. They should sell a subscription service to what John Rahm is thinking right now.
Can you imagine?
I don't think we could. It could never make it to broadcast, and we could never play it here on this family show.
Well, I'll double you down on that one, right? Because we had him on our show this morning when he was on the range. Imagine inside John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton's head. Oh. That's going to be a roller coaster of biblical proportions, shouldn't it?
Oh, I would pay any amount of money for access to those feeds. Let's end this block with a couple of pieces of good news. Rory McIlroy plays himself back into it on Friday. Rebounds after a Thursday 73. It is a Friday 69. He moves up 41 spots on the leaderboard. Currently in a tie for 21st heading into the weekend. Four birdies, just one blemish on the card for old Rory.
Yeah, the truth of it is that I didn't think he had his best stuff out there today either. Still looked like he was fighting his golf swing a little bit. But you know these guys, they're always one swing away from good. And by that token, they're one swing away from bad as well. And they're into six, the hole where Rahm has just made seven. And we watched Justin Rose hit two balls in the drink off the tee, and he made quadruple or whatever it was. Rory gets up there, tee shot into the wind, and spanks one down there. I mean, typical thing. And then he's got this long iron that he whips in there. It was like, it was miraculous. Felt to me like I had a brush with heaven for a minute. And he hits on the green there and makes his two-putt birdie. And all of a sudden, he's turned the thing around. And then down eight, he hits this tee shot head high with a driver from an elevated tee, carves it around the corner. And I was like, guess who's back? And here he is, you know, 69, kind of gutted out of par in his last hole, the ninth. And so it was a good day, but not his best stuff. But he is, if he wants to contend, going to have to sharpen up. And I don't think with some of the guys out in front of him, he can afford to make any more casual errors. You're going to make the odd bogey, but the silly bogeys, he has to clean that stuff up and not make bogeys from the middle of the fairway and that sort of stuff.
Seven shots out of the lead, five shots out of second place. The shot of the day to the Norwegian.
Your
Josh,
boy.
Just run the tape. Let's just watch it.
Rory, you heard from on the eighth green. Watch this shot as it lands. Not many have gotten close at all, but not many have gotten it in. A hole in one for Victor Hovland. What a shot.
Banks could have got a bit more animated with that call, don't you think? I mean, how often do you see an ace? You got to go up for that stuff, Brad. Come on.
Yeah, you got to get after that one. The other thing is, speaking of subscription services, I'm convinced that Victor has a subscription service that allows him to make an ace every month, because this is now already the fourth on tour. I swear, every time I turn around, the guy's making one.
Well, I've told you guys that I feel like he's one of the best iron players in the game. His iron game is prolific, and he really thrives when conditions are tough because he hits the ball so squarely. And the moves he's made here early in the year, changing instructors. I talked with him at Pebble Beach, and he had been fighting a bit of a left shot. And for him, when his iron game doesn't thrive, it filters through the rest of the bag. And he's in a place now where the left ball is next to gone, and so he can swing more aggressively. And when he knows that, when you see a right hole location, that stuff is tailor-made for Victor Hovland. In that situation there, there's a wind over his left shoulder, right hole location. I mean, he is licking his chops. And I mean, I was surprised it went in, because next to nobody got it close to that hole location over there. But you know, right hole locations and Victor Hovland are they're a pair, you know?
Yeah, now that you mention it, that is almost a carbon copy of the ace he made at the BMW Championship in Wilmington, which I swear we'll have to run both of those tapes side by side at some point, because I swear they're exactly the same thing. You're absolutely right there. Let's talk about the odds board. Put a bow on this, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And we're back. Let's see it. The favorite, who we haven't even spent an ounce of oxygen on, the favorite, three shots back, Xander Schauffele, 6-1. Jordan Spieth, 30-1 after Thursday's round, now 6.5-1. The leader, Kurt Kitayama, 8.5-1. Scottie Scheffler lurking as well. He is 5 back. That's 9-1, along with Patrick Cantlay, who is just 4 off the pace. And then Justin Thomas and John Rahm both sitting at 11-1, though Justin Thomas is 5 under. John Rahm is 3 under. That is one heck of a board with a lot of big names, Mark, that are battling for this one.
It is. And Xander, to me, I just thought he's managed his way around this golf course well. You'll oftentimes hear the PGA Tour guys go, you know, I'm making good decisions. I'm getting the most out of my rounds. I'm managing what I have. And that's what Xander's done. He's hit the ball awfully flush. He's played the right shots in the wind. He's hardly ever short-sighted himself. And he's hitting the ball long, so he's getting some scoring irons in there. So he's an enterprising pick. But look, there's a whole lot of golf left. And if I was doing a little sprinkle of money, you know, what was Rahm starting the week? He was like 9-1, right?
Yeah, he was shorter than that. Yeah, exactly.
So I'd lay a few shekels on Rahm at 11-1 right now and just see how it falls. Because, yeah, I know I was a little undecided about the finish because it was a curious event. I've never seen him ever run like that before in my life. But look, tomorrow's a new day and a new broom sweeps clean, and he'll be out a little bit before the leaders. He and Rory and Hatton and Fitz and all these guys, they're out early. So, you know, make some inroads. If this course freshens up and gets a little bouncy in the afternoon, we may be 5 or 6 wide come Sunday.
Couple other notables: Matt Fitzpatrick, 14-1. He's only 4 off the lead. Rory McIlroy, who we mentioned, 22-1. And then Cam Young, thanks to that struggling finish, he's going to be T9, 5 off the lead. He is 25-1. So I agree. There's a lot of golf to be played, and there are a lot of shakeups to happen. 2 rounds to go, Mark.
Yeah, that's the beauty about this golf course too. And I think we talked about it. If we didn't, you got to forgive me because it's a misstep on my behalf. But that's the one great thing about this golf course. You know, all the par fives are reachable. All the par threes are kind of daunting. But I love a course where the finish, you can see multiple strokes trade hands. And if we're just going from 14 and in, 14 is a good par three. Perched up green, you have to hit a good medium to long iron. 15 is just a daunting par four. Round one, that thing's stroke average was higher than the par five 16th. Okay. So if you can make four on 15 and then 16 is a reachable five, you can see anything from three to six. Then 17 is a mean par three. And 18, you miss the fairway down the right and you're cooked. It's basically chipping out, hoping to get up and down for a par. You could see three, four strokes trade hands over the last hour of play. So anything's possible. Heck, we saw it last year when Scotty shot even past 72, was in for about an hour, and Gary Woodland eagle 16, then double 17. Hovland trips over himself, and the next thing, Scheffler's the champion. So it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be really hard to pick. I think the last hour will ever say so.
We will see how moving day goes and be back after Saturday's round concludes. And obviously we do it all again on Sunday as well. For now, big thanks to producer Josh, does all the hard work behind the scenes. Mark Immelman, available at Mark_Immelman. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.